Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to New York.
Attention fans, this is the Devil's State of Mind podcast, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. Now here's your host, Neil Villapiano!
Oh yeah, it's been a long time since you've either heard or seen of me, but what is going on, Devils fans? It is, as always, your host, your best friend, your confidant, your number one source, Neil Villapiano, and welcome to a much-anticipated, and I mean much-anticipated, season recap episode of the Devil's State of Mind podcast, right here wherever you listen to podcasts, whether checking out here on YouTube or basically anywhere you listen to podcasts, as well as SportsWire Radio. Your best place to get everything you need to know about your New Jersey Devils. And as always, guys, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to check these episodes out. And I know it has been quite a while since the last episode came out, but I just, as always, I want to say thank you to everybody who continues to show support for the podcast, whether listening to it or following on social media at Devil State of Mind on Instagram and Facebook and Devil State over on Twitter. But nonetheless, I want to say thank you again to all of our sponsors and also all of you as well. Really does mean a lot to me. So you might be asking yourself, Neil, where the hell have you been? Well, to put it in simple terms, I decided to take a break after the season. And I know that this year in general wasn't particularly great to the standards that I have set for myself in terms of consistent content and everything like that. But, you know, to be quite honest, life sometimes gets in the way. And there are times where you have to make adjustments and you have to do things differently than you normally do. And maybe things are not as consistent, but I still try to give you guys the best content I can at the rate that I can give it to you. So I do appreciate everybody's overall just patience with me and understanding. And as always, again, just support. And I really do appreciate it. And I miss doing this. I miss talking to you guys. I miss just kind of talking about Devils hockey. And it has been a little less than a month. It's been almost a month since the last episode came out. And it's been about 3 weeks since the last Devils game of the year, a loss at home to the New York Islanders, and I felt that this was as good a time as any to kind of do a season debriefing, and that's basically just kind of going over the season, what went wrong, what went right, and what the Devils need to do this offseason, and what to look forward to during this offseason as well. Some pretty awesome news earlier today. The Devils finally signed their second-round draft pick of 2 years ago, Seamus Casey, to a entry-level contract, as well as Jakub Malik, a goaltender that they drafted a couple of years back, who I am a big fan of, for sure. So the Devils did make some moves in terms of keeping a lot of their guys, their young players in their system locked in long term. And it's really interesting because, you know, what does that mean for a guy like maybe Akira Schmid? Is he potentially involved in something in terms of maybe getting traded or something along those lines down the road? Who knows? But Tom Fitzgerald, I think, had a pretty busy day today. But we're going to talk about Tommy Fitz and the rest of the boys in a deeper look in just a second. But really quickly, just wanted, as always, to shout out all of our sponsors here, especially SeatGeek. And with the playoffs going on right now, second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs, you got the second round of the NBA playoffs. Major League Baseball is in full swing, no pun intended. And SeatGeek is your best place to get awesome deals and get the best price for the best seats at any sporting or concert event of your choosing. So make sure you use Devil State of Mind when you sign out and you get $20 off your first purchase. So again, make sure to use my promo code Devil State of Mind. And also shout out Horn to Tail Napa Valley, the official wine club of the New Jersey Devils and the official wine sponsor of the Devil State of Mind podcast. And use my promo code Devil State to get 10% off all of your orders. So just wanted to quickly shout out all of our sponsors here at the Devil State of Mind podcast. Also, just so that I keep you guys around the entire episode, we do have a little bit of something I want to share with you guys at the end of this episode. Not specifically involving yours truly, but the overall, let's call it, look of the Devil State of Mind podcast moving forward. Don't worry, not going anywhere. Nothing bad is happening. It's all good. But I just want to share it with you guys. And a main announcement of this will come this upcoming Wednesday, May 8th. So make sure you guys are around on social media, particularly around the network that I'm a part of, because there's some things in the air. And there's some things that we are really excited to share with you guys. So we have a bunch to get to here on this season debriefing of the Devil State of Mind podcast. So let's not waste any more time and get rolling and drop the puck. And there is no first topic. I know I usually say, you know, with our first topic, blah, blah, blah. Simply put, we are going to start with what happened. And yes, I made some graphics for this. If you're on YouTube, you guys can see them. What happened in 2023-24? Well, let's put it in these simpler terms. The Devils finished the season a disappointing 38-39-5. It is the sixth time in the last 8 years that the Devils finished below 500, which, unfortunately for a younger generation of Devils fans, it is something that we have grown accustomed to seeing from this Devils team. And with where the expectations were at the beginning of the year to where we are now, about 8-9 months later, is pretty damn disappointing. I think disappointing is the big word. And I think when a lot of Devils fans look back on this year, disappointment is the big word, because of where the Devils were last season and where we felt that they were going to go and where we thought that they were going into this year. And a lot went wrong. They finished with 81 points, finished second to last in the Metropolitan Division, seventh in the Metro to be exact, only behind in front of the Columbus Blue Jackets. They finished exactly 10 points out of the last wildcard spot, which was legitimately the only way down the stretch the Devils had any shot of making the playoffs. And they finished with 14 fewer wins than they did in 22-23, and also 31 fewer points. Think about that. That's about 15 games, 15 wins worth of points that the Devils did not get this season. I think that really kind of lets you take a step back. Also, it is the ninth time in the last decade that the New Jersey Devils did not make the postseason. And so again, it really comes down to simply that this was a disappointing year, an aggravating year, a frustrating year. And so much, if you look at, to kind of backtrack for a second, if you look back to last season, everything went right for the Devils in 22-23. Health-wise, coaching, goaltending, scoring, everything. Fast forward 12 months later, everything went wrong for this team. So let's dive into it a little bit deeper with this. So again, as I mentioned here on the screen, 38, 39, and 5, 81 points, finished in 7th in the Metropolitan Division, 10 points out of a playoff spot, had 14 fewer wins than last year, 31 fewer points, ninth time in the last 10 years that they have missed the playoffs. And I didn't put this in here, but again, this is the 6th time in 8 years that the New Jersey Devils finished with a below 500 record, which again, incredibly, incredibly aggravating. So let's continue to go here. And we'll start with what were the reasons that this season was such a disappointment? Let's start with probably the one that really killed this team, especially in the early going, and that was injuries. Specifically to main guys on this team. Dougie Hamilton ended up getting hurt in late November, did not return for the rest of the season. You had Jack Hughes out multiple times with different injuries. He had surgery, so hopefully he'll be ready to go by training camp. Same thing with Dougie Hamilton. Nico Hischier was out for a period of time. Timo Meier had 2 MCL injuries and just recently had arthroscopic shoulder surgery. And there are obviously other guys as well that were banged up in periods of time, like Vitek Vanacek, Curtis Lazar, Nate Bastian, Jonas Siegenthaler, John Marino at one point. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. It felt like I think basically more than half this team was injured at one point or another this year. The Devils really, except in the first maybe 2 or 3 weeks of the season, were never at full strength. We're never at that point. They had incredible injury luck or injury avoidance luck the year before. This year, it went the exact opposite way, and it was just not good at all. So the first thing when you look at what went wrong this year, health and injuries. Just lack of health, getting hurt, and not only getting hurt, but being hurt for a long period of time, and it affecting the main team guys, the big dogs, the Dougies, the Jacks, the Nikos, the Timos of the world. And so that certainly was a big, big issue for this team. The next thing that was an issue for me was the coaching. And you look at the two gentlemen on the screen, ironically, at the time of this recording, both of these men already have another job as head coaches in the NHL. Talking about Lindy Ruff. Simply put, I think Lindy Ruff had overstated his welcome. I know that people want to say it wasn't totally on him, and it wasn't. But the reality is that his coaching system and style just wasn't appropriate for this team anymore. And even though he admitted in a recent interview with Ryan Novosinski of NJ.com that he wished he had made some changes earlier in the year and goaltending and all that stuff, the reality is that he waited too long and he did not make the necessary adjustments. And as a result, Tom Fitzgerald did fire him despite giving him a contract extension, which honestly, it wasn't like a big contract extension. So it's not like they're really paying a lot. And because Lindy Ruff is going back to Buffalo for his second stint as head coach of the Buffalo Sabres, the Devils either don't have to pay any more to Lindy Ruff or a very, very small margin. I'm not sure. And then Travis Green took over for the last month and change of the year. To be quite honest with you, the team actually played worse offensively and defensively with Travis Green at the helm as interim head coach. The only difference that was somewhat of a positive was the fact that Tom Fitzgerald went out and acquired Jake Allen and Kaapo Kähkönen at the trade deadline. And so the goaltending was better. The goaltending was a lot better than what we had seen the first couple of months of the season. But Travis Green was never going to be the main guy at the helm. And at the time of the scoring, on this day exactly, May 6, 2024, he has been hired as the next head coach of the Ottawa Senators. So the Devils will absolutely be getting a brand new head coach during this offseason. And we'll talk about that a little bit more later on in this episode. But again, just did not work. I wasn't fond of Lindy Ruff when he was originally hired. He earned himself an opportunity to stick around after last year, But the reality is that it may have been actually not a good thing, because Lindy Ruff was brought in specifically to develop the young talent that we have. He did. He got them to a higher level, but I never felt that he could fully get this team to play at the level that they needed to play on a consistent night. Again, not totally on him, but this team needs a different mindset. They need a different style, a different type of coach. And I'll talk again in greater detail about what I feel the Devils need to be looking for in terms of their next hire. Then we come to, without question, the thing that really killed this team, especially in the early goings of the season. And that, my friend, is the goaltending. Simply put, it was not good. Regardless of whether it was Vitek, Vanecek, Akira Schmid, Nico Daws, Jake Allen, Kaapo Kähkönen, or even Isaac Poulter, who granted never played a game this season, but I digress. The goaltending just regressed so badly that it was amazing to me. I mean, Vitek Vanecek, that last season was probably going to be the best season of his career. He was tremendous. There is no doubt. Akira Schmid came in the middle of that first round of the playoffs against the Rangers, put on a Linsanity run, and then struggled a ton this season to the point where he was eventually sent down and played the rest of this past season with the Utica Comets in the AHL. Nico Daws had a really nice run in February and into early March, but again, he's too young and needs to be developed more in the minors. Same thing with Akira Schmid. Vanecek was eventually dealt at the trade deadline to the San Jose Sharks for Kaapo Kähkönen. Simply put, as Tom Fitzgerald said, they made that trade to get rid of Vitek Vanecek and his contract. There is no way to sugarcoat that. Not going to try to make it sound like it was better than it was. That's just the honest reality. And I know it upsets certain people, but that is, again, just the reality of it. And again, Jake Allen comes in a trade from Montreal. He waived his no-trade clause to move to New Jersey, and the Devils are only paying half of his contract salary the rest of the time it's around. So he has 1 year left next year. They're paying him less than $2 million. He will most likely be the backup to whoever the Devils decide to get parallel with him. It probably won't be Kaapo Kähkönen, although Kähkönen did show some pretty good signs, and he probably won't cost a whole lot, but I don't see the Devils going with the tandem of Jake Allen and Kaapo Kähkönen going into next season with how much pressure there is with this team to take the next step. But none of the goaltenders really ever got on a roll and really took over the number one spot. And it's unfortunate that things ended the way that they did with Vitek Vanecek. I understand completely why he was upset about how things transpired, but it is a business at the end of the day. And you have to make changes for the sake of helping your team. Akira Schmid, I know that people are talking about maybe he ends up being a guy that gets dealt in a trade for a top-flight goaltender. Who knows? Who knows? We will not worry about that now. But goaltending was another major, major reason, especially early on this year, that led to the Devils' downfall. And the last thing, simply put as well, the Devils' defense was brutal this year. Several guys who had tremendous years last year took major steps backwards. Jonas Siegenthaler, John Marino, Kevin Ball, all three of those guys in particular just fell down dramatically, particularly Jonas Siegenthaler, to the point now where many are questioning whether or not he's going to be on this team moving forward. John Marino may also be a guy that gets moved. Who knows? Kevin Ball, I doubt it. I doubt he's the one that gets moved. I just don't think you're going to see the same defensive core. And I know now that, and you look at a guy like Brendan Smith, I don't know if he's going to come back. I'm not the biggest fan of Brendan Smith, to put it simply. And I think that there are other guys out there the Devils can get that are could do better at the job that he was doing. And with Dougie Hamilton getting hurt and the Devils dealing with injuries on the back end, you had a guy like Luke Hughes, who, by the way, is a Calder Trophy finalist for Rookie of the Year. So congratulations to Luke Hughes. And Simo Nemitz, who both had to not only play, but play major minutes, sometimes top 4 minutes together. And even though they did have some success, they had a lot of growing pains as well. But you're hopeful that with those two guys in your foxhole long term, that they could develop very well and become two great top defensemen for many, many years to come. And adding a guy like Seamus Casey as well just continues to make it a really exciting future on the back end. But clearly, the defense regressed. It led. It was a reason why the goaltending was a problem. It wasn't the only reason, but I do put a good amount of blame on the defensive structure and the regression of the defense on why the goaltending for the Devils at times failed. Even Lindy Ruff admitted it in that interview that he did with Novo from NJ.com. So the last thing that, and probably the thing that everybody's going to point to, is clearly Tom Fitzgerald. He failed this offseason and in this season. Maybe saying the offseason he failed, it's tough to say. But certainly not bringing back maybe some guys, maybe like a Tatar. I definitely feel like that was a mistake not to bring him back. I know that he was asking for a lot more money and ultimately he didn't get it. But at the same time, I still think you could have tried to keep him. You did acquire Tyler Toffoli, which, even though you look at the situation, Yegor Sharangovich, who got dealt in the deal, had a 30-plus goal season, had a great year in Calgary. It just was never going to happen as long as Lindy Ruff was in charge. And Tyler Toffoli actually had a very productive year, despite what a lot of people might think. And they almost were able to get a deal done where he was going to stay and not get traded. It's possible that the Devils can still bring him back during this offseason, maybe in 2 or 3 months, maybe he is a Devil again. Who knows? He is an unrestricted free agent with the Winnipeg Jets season being over. But Tom Fitzgerald failed a lot. He didn't address the goaltending like he should have in the offseason. He didn't add veteran defensemen on the back end, I felt. And I'm not going to really say the forward core because it was still pretty intact. But again, losing Tomas Tatar was unfortunate, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but having Damon Severson and Ryan Graves going out the door ended up really affecting the defensive core in terms of productivity. And then also Tom Fitzgerald didn't make moves when he should have. He made them too late. He fired Lindy Ruff too late. He improved the team's goaltending at the very last second, when it was very unlikely the Devils were going to make a run in these playoffs. And that's where we're at. So he goes into this offseason with a huge, huge job to do. He has a lot to do to turn this team around, take them to the next level, and put confidence back in the team and in this fan base. He built this team, and he also was the reason that it failed this year in many ways. Not the injuries, but in many other ways. So all eyes are going to be on Tommy Fitz going into this offseason. So that overall is what the hell happened in this 2023-24 season. So with that now out of the way and in the rearview mirror, let us now go over to the offseason checklist for this New Jersey Devils team, i.e., what does this team need to do in order to get better, get back in the playoffs, and be a cup contender? Well, the first and most important thing, which I also believe is the thing that Tom Fitzgerald's going to do first, is find a new head coach. Now, as you can see here on YouTube, there's a couple of options. You have Craig Berube, who, again, reportedly, as of right now, per Elliot Friedman, that the Devils are very high on him. And if nobody else really makes that big push, it's very likely that Craig Berube becomes the next head coach of the New Jersey Devils, based on what we've been told. Mike Sullivan, who is starting a new three-year contract with the Pittsburgh Penguins. It has been speculated that maybe, especially with the Toronto Maple Leafs getting bounced in the first round, that maybe Kyle Dubas fires or lets Mike Sullivan go and brings in Sheldon Keefe to be the next head coach of the Penguins, that would open up Mike Sullivan to then come to New Jersey. He has a strong connection with Tom Fitzgerald. I think it'd be fair to say that if Mike Sullivan were to become available, barring some other crazy situations that could happen, maybe John Cooper of Tampa Bay is available, maybe even Rob Brind'Amour. Unlikely with Rob Brind'Amour, but what we heard last week, maybe it's still a possibility. But if Mike Sullivan is available, he jumps Craig Berube, in my opinion. But we're not going to talk specifically about like which head coach, blah, blah, blah. We're going to talk about what are the Devils looking for, what they should be looking for in a new head coach. Someone who is a defined leader, a guy who comes in as an alpha dog, okay? A guy who comes in and demands respect. He demands accountability. But most importantly, in my opinion, has a system that works based on the team that you have. Instead of shoving a system and an old school approach, you need to have a system that's more up to date with this type of hockey that's played in the NHL that is also conducive to what this team is. And this team is going to look different by the training camp of this upcoming year. But you need to start with getting a new head coach, whether it's a veteran coach or even an unproven guy like a David Carl at the University of Denver. A bona fide leader who demands respect, demands accountability, and has a system that is based around the team and skill set that you have overall. So that's the first thing. Number two, you need to find a true number one goaltender. And yes, you guys know how big I am on the Devils going after Yusei Saros. If he does become available truly, the Devils need to focus on doing that. Because Saros is in the middle of his prime, is a bona fide number one goaltender, and around a better team with a good system in place and everything could make a deep run to winning a Stanley Cup. But you need to find that number one goaltender, whether it's Yusei Saros, whether it's Jakob Markstrom. The Devils could very well circle back. They were on the verge of acquiring him, and then things fell through. It's very likely that the Devils will circle back and try to make a deal for him this time. Linus Ullmark from Boston is another guy because it's very likely that Linus Ullmark is on his way out of Boston because Jacob Swayman, let's call it like it is that number one guy. And I don't think the Bruins want to pay a lot of money to two goaltenders. And bringing in Linus Ullmark wouldn't be a bad move either, but you have to find a true number one netminder. True number one. You do that and you get a good head coach, you're off to a really good start in this offseason. The next thing is get a defensive defenseman or two. Because this team needs to be a little bit less offense on the back end and more defensive on the back end. There's a couple of guys, two of them you see right here on the screen. Chris Tanev. You got Brendan Dillon. I also very much like Brett Pesce with the Carolina Hurricanes. Those are just some names that I'm going to throw out. But regardless of the fact, you need to add a veteran or two defensive defensemen to take some load off of your offensive defensemen like a Luke Hughes, like a Dougie Hamilton, and try to take off some of that pressure from Siegenthaler or Marino, because I think that's what really helped Siegenthaler or Marino and even Ball have success last year, the year before, when they had guys like Severson and Graves taking over some of that defensive responsibility and having everyone have more of a balanced amount of workload. So that's the next thing I would say. Get a defensive defenseman or two. Veteran, that's the way I would look at it. But if you want to get a young guy that can do the job as well, be my guest. Next thing, find a scoring right or left winger, particularly to play alongside Jack Hughes. That is the big thing on the offensive side. The Devils' offensive core, for the most part, is set. What they are still lacking is a guy that can put the puck in the back of the net at a consistent rate that plays alongside Jack Hughes, who can focus again on being a center and go from there. And there's two options right here on the screen. One of them, Devils fans already know about, in Tyler Toffoli. And I'm saying, it is still possible the Devils could go back, circle back, and try to bring Tyler Toffoli back to the Garden State. But there are some other guys that are free agents going into this year that could be options. The reigning Conn Smythe Trophy winner for the Vegas Golden Knights, Jonathan Marchessault, who is now officially going to be a free agent after the Golden Knights were knocked out in the first round of these playoffs against Dallas. Another Golden Knight, Chandler Stephenson, as well, could be a really good option in terms of speed and scoring. Vladimir Tarasenko, he's a little up there in age, but he could still produce at a pretty good rate, could still get you about 30 goals a year. You got, like I mentioned, Tyler Toffoli. Anthony Duclair, I think, is a really fascinating one because I think he could certainly play still in that top six, brings that speed, is a physical player as well. I think could be a guy that could bring a little bit of everything to that top six. And I know I've mentioned this guy in passing before, but Patrick Kane as well is an option. Is it like one? Probably not. But it's very possible you could play a guy like Kane who's a mainly a goal-scoring type of guy. You know, Kane had a pretty solid year in his, you know, in his 1 year with the Detroit Red Wings, had 20 goals, could very well bring some, you know, goal-scoring and some energy to that locker room as well. A veteran guy who's won a couple of Stanley Cups, three to be exact, won a Conn Smythe, done basically everything on his way to the Hockey Hall of Fame, without question. But those are just a list of a bunch of guys, and they could very well trade for a guy as well that I'm not talking about. But those are some guys that I think, especially with the Devils having a little over $20 million, a little less than $20 million in cap space, could very well make some moves for that could help the top six and help the team overall. I didn't mention Steven Stamkos because, number one, I think the Devils are not going to be willing to pay top dollar for him. Number two, I think most likely he stays in Tampa Bay or ends up in Montreal/Nashville. Those are my two predictions in terms of where I think Steven Stamkos goes, but that's a topic for another day. The next thing that the Devils need to focus on is adding to the bottom six with grittiness, and toughness. Now, one of the things I didn't bring up earlier when we were talking about what went wrong this season was the fact, and it's uncomfortable to talk about, but it happened, the fact that Michael McLeod, who right now is being charged with two different crimes, one of them being sexual assault, the other one obviously being that he could very well be the ringleader, the one who came up with this entire plan. Again, it's going to be, unfortunately, another year, maybe two, before we fully get a verdict on all this. They still have to go to court and everything so much. But the reality is that Michael McLeod will not be New Jersey Devil anytime soon. He may never play in the NHL again. Who knows? But losing Michael McLeod, for how valuable he is, specifically being the top faceoff guy in the league, percentage-wise, bringing that speed, energy, physicality, the Devils were missing that all year. They were, and they didn't have it down the stretch. And they do have guys like a Nate Bastian and a Curtis McDermott that can do that and can drop the gloves, but they need to add some more. And there are some guys that come to mind for me. William Carrier, another Vegas Golden Knight. I like Dakota Joshua from the Vancouver Canucks. Two guys that I've heard today could be intriguing. Jakob Trenin from Nashville. And then Warren Fogle as well. Those are just, again, I wanted to give you guys a couple of different guys here or there that could be options. So adding to the bottom six, making it a little bit tougher. If that means taking away some of that speed and skill, so be it. Being a little grittier, being a bit tougher, you know, being a more balanced team overall, as I've talked about. I like to use the Florida Panthers as a good example of this. A balanced team that could beat you in a multitude of different ways goes a long way. So adding to the bottom six, which I don't imagine will cost too much, if a lot at all, is another priority. And I know this isn't a top, I don't want to say it's not a top priority. At least it's not a top priority on my list, but RFAs, restricted free agent. Dawson Mercer is the big one. The question is going to be, is he a guy that ends up becoming available in a big trade swing for a goaltender? Maybe, maybe not. Who knows? But Dawson Mercer, I think, absolutely needs to be re-signed. I don't think it will be much of an issue. And he did have a down year, so in kind of a good way, it might make it easier for Tom Fitzgerald to get a fair deal for both sides. Here are some others. There are 11 restricted free agents for the Devils. I am only going to name seven, the seven that I want to see the Devils bring back. Dawson Mercer, Nolan Foote, Graham Clark, Akira Schmid, Nico Dawes, for sure. Santeri Hodaka and Brian Helonen. So those are the guys that I would like to see who are RFAs. I would like to see the Devils bring back. And obviously, they're already going to work on some of their young prospects. Like I mentioned, Seamus Casey, Jakub Malik. Those guys are now locked in. And I think down the road, we're going to see a lot of these guys that I mentioned signed as well. So those are the six offseason checklist items that the Devils have to address this year. They have to. They can't not go into training camp looking at it and saying, oh, we still haven't addressed thus and so. However you want to address it, you got to address it so that we can go into training camp and say, okay, we have a new head coach, maybe a better one. I hope it's a better one. Number one goaltender, great. You've gotten help on the back end, veteran-wise, physicality, whatever you want to call it, defensive play on the back end. Finding a top goal scorer for Jack Hughes on that second line. You've gotten yourself some good depth on the bottom six, and you brought back a lot of the key RFAs as well. And so it's going to be interesting. It's exciting. I think this is a really exciting offseason because the Devils are going to be super active. They're going to be one of the most active teams in the NHL in terms of the teams trying to be competitive and win the Stanley Cup. Because right now the window is open. There is no question. There is no question about it. And the Devils have to strike while the iron is hot. And that's what I want to see. So those are my off-season checklist items for the New Jersey Devils. Now, the last thing here that I wanted to talk to you guys really quickly about our important off-season dates. Let's start with literally tomorrow or today at the time that you are listening to this episode. We have the NHL Draft Lottery. It'll be tomorrow night, Tuesday night, May 7th at 6:30 p.m. Eastern. The Devils currently sit with the 10th highest odds to earn the number one overall pick, which is Macklin Celebrini at 3.5%. I would say most likely the Devils are either going to stay at 10 or move to 11. That is my guess. And this is a very deep class, but the Devils could very well use this pick to maybe acquire a top flight player. That's the way I look at it. And I know I spelled Vegas wrong in this thing. I do apologize. That's actually really embarrassing that it's spelled Vegs, not Vegas. So I do apologize for that. But the NHL Draft, June 28th and 29th at the Vegas Sphere in Las Vegas, Nevada. And we'll see where the Devils are at that point. And then the first day of NHL free agency, Monday, July 1st, will be that. Also, in a couple of days, the World Championships will begin for this year. And a lot of Devils players are going to be involved in that. And myself and many others will keep you updated with all of how they are all doing. Hopefully some of these guys can come and finish with some medals. I think that would be a nice way for these guys to finish the year kind of on a high note. So overall, that is pretty much the closing of the book on the 2023-24 season. It's not technically, because really the season doesn't end until the last game of the Stanley Cup Finals. But for the Devils, right now the focus is 1,000% on 2024-25. And it is going to be one hell of an offseason for this team. I'm excited to give you guys content, whether it's podcasting, potentially some writing as well. And I'm going to try to get back to being more active on social media as well. But again, I do want to say also, thank you all so much for your support all season long. It has been great. It has been great. I love the comments and compliments I get on social media. I love meeting you guys at games. I took pictures with so many people at the last game of the season. It was wonderful. It was like the last day of school before you all go off for the summer. It was great. And I appreciate every single one of you so very much. And I'll be here all night going through every single specific person. You know who you are. and you know that I appreciate you 1,000%. And the last thing that I wanted to say before I sign off on this episode is simply this. We, as a network, the network I'm on, have a major announcement to make on Wednesday. That's all I'm going to tell you. That's all I'm going to tell you. There will be a lot more explained, and you'll understand it, and everything will be even more exciting once it all comes out. And I will also tell you this, the Devil State of Mind podcast is going to look a bit different going into next season. But nonetheless, it's still going to be your boy, and it's still going to be the same old Devil State of Mind, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to continue to obviously do episodes. Maybe we'll get one out later this week talking about the draft lottery results and what ends up being that. And who knows, maybe not too far from now, maybe we do find the first offseason checklist item checked off, which is finding a new head coach. But again, just thank you guys so much for all of your support this season. I love you all, and I can't wait to continue with the rest of this year and offseason and many more seasons to come of the Devil State of Mind podcast.